always thinking, you know, sound, and we entertain different things from the world, and our understanding gets, you know, clouded and messed up. Am I making, you know, am I thinking properly with God? And, you know, if our understanding, if our eyes, if our mind, you know, is not open, you know, how do we even believe simple truth?
Mm-hmm.
If our understanding's not open, we can't even believe. We don't have even a right to have our faith being exercised by what we hear.
Mm.
You know, because it's all, we're entertaining all these other things with it. And as you think with the natural mind, if you continue to think in that process, you will be thinking natural things.
Mm.
You will be more worried about your situations and what you're experiencing in this life than godly things. And it will consume you. And it will steal your heart. It will rob you of what God is trying to simply teach us. And yes, can you believe me here? Can you believe me in this area? Well, I believe you for salvation. If you can believe God for salvation, you can believe God for that mortgage.
Mm.
You know? We pick and choose what we want to believe in, you know, and it's because we have we're thinking more naturally. So we come together to hear the word. We come together to get around the body of Christ. We come to get built up. We come to edify, and all of a sudden our understanding becomes more and more open to the things of God. It's an incredible thing. You ready?
Yeah.
Pastor Chadwick, we're blessed to have you. Thank you for visiting us.
Yes.
This weekend, it's been amazing.
Yes.
Any water,
yes.
Sir?
Yeah, good.
Thank you. Wow. Let's see, Pastor McFarland gave a great message this morning, didn't he?
Yes.
It was very good.
Yes.
What did he say? All right, so remember the neighbor talking to your neighbor last night?
Yeah.
You want to change your seat right now? All right, so ask your neighbor, what did he say?
I didn't hear the word. I was making this up. I like what he said about we need to
The second thing I want you to talk about, just to each other for a moment, is finished work.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith, would you stand just for a second? Turn around, and in the back, what does it say? It is finished. Where did it say that? There it is.
It says it right there, too.
John 19:30. It is finished. All right, so with your neighbor, what does that mean? Okay. It is finished.
Yeah, that's true.
God says you don't have to do anything, and you still get to go to heaven. He's got to be moved. Yeah, because it's a gift. And we keep trying, we got to do this, we got to do that, it's already done. There's nothing we can do.
All right, here's a short answer. What was the first thing Jesus said when he was a child, 12 years old, in the temple? What did he say?
About my father's business.
I must be about my father's business. So what was he doing? Work. Was obeying the father. He was doing the work. And then what was one of the last things that he said? Yeah. It is finished. So it's done, meaning there's no more to do. All right, so what's this regarding? But salvation, saving people, it's done. Now you and I think we must add to it, right? We add to that work, but we don't add to it. It's done. We simply believe. It's an attitude of faith in him, and we're saved. Who saved us? God saved us, right? He finished the work so you don't have to do anything more. But what we think is, well, I should pray. Yeah, we should pray, but that's not to finish the work. He finished the work. Well, I should go to the church. Yeah, we should go to the church, but that's not the work that's done in order to be saved. There's nothing more you do to get saved. It is finished, done, complete, finito. Done, finished, I don't know. It's ended, okay? It's done, it's finished. Jesus did the work. What does this mean to a person that's in trouble in their life? It means that in the last moment of life, they could believe and be saved without them doing anything. Like the thief on the cross, his hands were nailed, and his feet were nailed. Did he ever take a footstep or do something with his hands to get saved? He never did anything to get saved. Was he water baptized? He didn't do anything except believe. That's all, to believe, right? You know, even filling out a salvation card, filling out the salvation card doesn't save you, but it does tell the church that, you know, you're making a decision. It's the decision of faith that saves you, because the work is done. You know, get on the train. The ticket, here's your ticket. Go ahead. Believe, trust, get on the train. Now, after believing, maybe I have periods of unbelief. Listen to this story. I'm a Jewish family. I have a newborn son. I live in Egypt. We put blood on the doorpost. The death angel comes over Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. And the firstborn is dying everywhere. This Jewish family, the mother, is in the house, like pacing back and forth, you know. My son. I don't know. Firstborn dies, like, will death come to my house? She doesn't believe that the blood will work for her house. She lays in unbelief. But her husband put the blood on the door. And guess what happens? Death angel passes over because of the blood. Not because she had unbelief doesn't change the power of the blood. Right? Have you ever ridden on an airplane saying to yourself, this plane's going to crash, this plane's going to crash, and you land safely? Did your unbelief change that airplane and that pilot? Pilot saying, oh, forget it, I'm sitting and have a coffee, sitting in the back. And in belief or in unbelief, your unbelief will not change what it is that is happening here. With salvation, if it is finished, it is finished. You simply believe once, you believe in your heart, and you are saved. And if after being saved you live in unbelief, it doesn't change your salvation, right? Okay, so that's it. That's done. Talk to your neighbor. Say, how are you today? God bless you. Be good. Are you saved?
Do you believe?
Okay, now let's go to... Hey, all right. That turned to Job 29. And I want to share with you about peace and quietness and love and wisdom, these words. And let's see, do you remember last night the message about the frogs? Okay. Have you ever gotten in a... By the way, in Baltimore today there was a evangelism effort that we had in our church, and I got photographs of the house that the Fellowship Hall packed out with people. We had evangelism explosion. A man come last Sunday, and then he was teaching a lesson this morning, and they're all going out. And so that was good news for me to hear from Baltimore. Yeah. Happy to hear that. Yeah. Yesterday we were in West Palm, and that was so good with Pastor Brunty. Amen. And Cassie and that great team of people. That was a highlight. No, wait a minute. This is a highlight. No, wait a minute. Okay. So, right? Yeah. Oh, Pastor McFarland gave a barn burner yesterday. As he did this morning. It was amazing. And so then the other thing is the folks that came from Baltimore, when do you go back? After service tomorrow morning. And then what time do you arrive about?
About 5 a.m.
5 a.m. on Monday morning?
Yes.
Isn't it be great to be young again? And they drove to Miami in the town yesterday, last night, right? And they got home about 3 or something. Wow. What were you doing at 3 o'clock? I know what you were doing. Okay, so. But we keep them in prayers. You drive and they're safe. And we love you and thank you for coming, really. Have you ever had a talk with somebody and it seems like the problem was never solved? Have you ever had a problem in your life and it seems like it has never been solved? Like it seems it goes on and on. On the other hand, have you ever had a solution to a problem and it was like over? It was done and it was finished. Huh? Okay, talk to your neighbor about it for a minute. Don't look at me. Okay, let's do it this way.
That's true.
Can you remember any time in the Gospels where a question came up and Jesus' answer just silenced the whole thing? Okay, where?
The woman in adultery.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, John 8, woman in adultery, she used to be stoned. What do you say? He said, whoever casts the first stone, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. What happened? Dropped the stones, walked away. Okay, what would we call that? That what we want to call that wisdom. Wisdom silenced and solved a problem. That was a problem for the woman. It was a problem for Jesus. It was a problem with the people. Do you think if the people had stoned the women that it would have ended there?
No.
What would have continued? Guilt? Like fear? Maybe this will happen tomorrow. Sadness, broken heart, the family, disturbed, troubles and everything. But when wisdom came, it was like there was something else happened. Can you think of another case? Yes.
I don't remember the exact case, but it says something about someone in the Bible was putting the blame on someone else, and then Jesus said, take the speck out of your own eye.
Yeah, beautiful. You do blame. Judging, Matthew 7, judging, and he said, before you judge another, take the sawdust, the log out of your eye before you take the speck of sawdust out of your neighbor's eye, right? Wow. And then there's like silence. You know, remember the two women, the prostitutes and the two babies? Mm-hmm. And one rolled over on the baby in the night and it died, and she switched while the other was sleeping. Mm-hmm. And the other one said, you know, this is not my baby. And they went before Solomon. And how did he solve it? By wisdom. And he said, cut the baby in half. And by that, he knew who was the real mother. What do you think happened after that judgment? There was silence. There was silence. It was over. It ended. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. But if you cut the baby in half, I mean, would there be silence? It would go on and on. There would be pain and talking and bitterness and anger. Okay. I just want to make a point that we are prone. Well, look at a few places. Isaiah 57, and this is a beautiful thought here. Isaiah 57, and verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace, to him that is far off, and to him that is near. This is grace. Grace really solves a lot of problems. Mm. Grace says, peace, peace to him that is far off and him that is near. Say the Lord, I will heal him. So there's the end. Verse 19 is like the end, like peace. That's it. It's over. You know, peace. It's beautiful. But then the wicked, verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is a way of thinking where there is not peace, and then there is a way of thinking where there is. And wisdom is where we find our peace. Pastor McFarland said it. Loving the Bible, finding the peace, the wisdom that's from above, and the peace of God. Okay?
Yes.
So the miry, troubled sea. Have you ever met somebody, maybe in your own family, where they just kind of bring up the thing again.
Okay.
Bring it up, you know. Bring it up. They're never satisfied. They're always troubled about this thing. And there's no real clear answer. No sound that's clear. But it just is like constantly a problem there. You know? Resentments, jealousies. How about jealousy? That's a plague. Jealousy. A feeling of inferiority, insecurity. Guilt is a terrible thing. Guilt, you know, people that just, it's like the troubled sea. And there's no real final, like it's over, it's done, it's finished. You know? It just keeps coming back again and again. Why did you do that to me? You know? I met a woman in Hungary, actually. She was an older woman. And she came and she was brokenhearted. And she was at the meeting and she said, my daughter died. And I sympathized. I go, wow, really? I'm so sorry. What happened? Yes, she was a young girl and she died unexpectedly. And it's just a terrible thing. And I'm like, there with her. She's new in the meeting and just care about her, you know. Then I go, when did this happen? She said, 27 years ago. I go, no. This is wrong. This cannot be. 27 years ago? And you're acting like this and thinking like this? This should be settled, right? This is over. This is done. You should be healed. Look at verse, is it 19? Yeah, I will heal him. Peace to him. This is what wisdom does in your life. It settles things. It's finished. Like the woman in adultery. Very sad story. At the same time, it's done. It's finished. There's peace there. Quietness. On the other hand, people stir up things. And this is verse 20. Okay, there are people that cannot sleep until they have done something wicked. Have you ever read that? That it's like for us, I can't sleep if I did do something wicked. For them, they can't sleep until they have done something wicked. Okay, talk to your neighbor about that for a second. Is anybody from the verse? Turn to Psalm 64. Oh, it's fun to be here today.
Amen.
It is.
Yes.
It's great. Last night was a beautiful time.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. Look at chapter 64. Maybe in your reading, you read that and the Lord will speak to your heart. Look at verse 6. They search out iniquities.
Mm.
They accomplish a diligent search on pastor Ken Fires. They really want to find something. And the inward thought of every one of them in the heart is deep. They really are figuring out how to destroy, how to hurt, how to tear down. And it goes on and on. I mean, it can go on for decades. And the wicked are like this. Like they just go on and on and on. But for us, there is an end to the... There's like a peace, a quiet satisfaction of peace. That's what we're going to talk about today and for a few minutes. It says, verse 7, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. there is something about the trouble that they produce that is not appealing to people. Like, they are troubled people, and it's like not appealing. You kind of go away from it. And you're looking for another way of thinking, another message. So this is Job 29. I think I asked you to turn there in the beginning of the message. Job 29 in verse 21, 22, and 23. Give me, unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence. Have my counsel. So this is Job recalling his past spiritual life, and in his past spiritual life he's talking about how influential, how much peace, how much love he had, and he also said that people respected him. And he said here in verse 21, they waited for me to speak, and they were silent. In verse 22, after my words, they spake not again. Meaning, it's like Jesus, remember, they asked him a question. He said, I will answer your question if you answer mine. And they said, well, what is your question? He said, was John the Baptist of God or men? And they're like, we don't know. And I'm not going to answer your question. Because you're not honest people. Because you're not, you know, I know you. Like, you're not honest people. If you were honest, you know John the Baptist was of God. But you don't want to say so because you didn't obey him. Because I'm the Messiah. He said so. He was from God. But if you can't jump over that hurdle, then I'm not paying any attention to you. Because you're just troubled people. And you're the kind of people that just keep talking and cause trouble. Isn't that amazing? You just are stirring it up. And I'm going to stay away from you. I'm going to give an answer, and there's going to be silence, and I'll walk away. Because you're not for real. Yeah, I mean, I would help you if you could be helped, but if you can't answer this question, then I'm not interested. Now, I don't know how you're applying this to your life. I'm just teaching it from the Bible, and I don't have any of you in mind. I'm not asking you to avoid people or anything. I just want you to put it in your mind that this is a fascinating subject, I think, you know, like this spiritual peace and contentment in the ministry. Because the church is to be a place where, like, it's like things are settled in our heart and in our mind. And we have peace with each other and love. Okay, verse 22. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. Mm. What does that mean? Mm. My speech dropped upon them. It settled, anointed. Mm. When in Cornelius's house, when Peter preached, it said the Holy Spirit fell on the people, and they believed. And it was done. It was like, it was settled. That's in Acts 10 and Acts 11. And then Moses said, my speech drops like dew, distills. That's in Deuteronomy 32. Okay, so, and then we could say regarding Jesus, when Jesus spoke, it was like, you know, so refreshing to the people. And it was like just a good word that settles the heart. And this is what we look for in counseling. Because sometimes as counselors, people come in, and this is where their attitude, I came here so you could solve my problem. And I'll listen to you. then, you know, it's they don't hear, maybe, or, you know, you're looking for, you know, like, how do you want your, what about you come here, I can't solve your problem, but I know that God could, like, God could speak and help you and minister to you. But there's more to it than I can't solve your problem. It's like, are you really looking for your problem to be solved so that you could live a happy life? Or would you more deeply like to know how God and have the Word of God minister to your heart with or without your problem? Mm-hmm. I mean, just for example. Right? Verse 23. And they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. So he was a counselor that people wanted to hear from him. But not everybody wants to hear what it is that God has to say to them. Okay? Turn now to 1 Timothy 6. And the finished work is one of those doctrines that really people really need, the finished work. And there's an amazing peace that comes when we understand the finished work. Okay. Six, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, this is what happens. The church is the best counseling place in the world, really. It's like what Pastor McFarland said.
Yeah.
The church is the place where things get settled. There's a peace that comes. I still walk out the door with problems, okay? But I found like there's an end, there's a peace, there's like a quietness. Like, it's okay, God is with me, you know? Problems are problems. But I'm not stirring up things from my old sin nature. I'm living in the Spirit and being ministered to by the Spirit and the doctrine that is able to build me up. The doctrine builds me up. The Spirit builds me up. Uh-huh. It does. It's always like that. Even the most difficult. Okay. Yeah, you could say Paul and Silas are in prison and they're in trouble. But in one sense, it's okay if you have peace. Like Jesus said, my peace I give you, not like the world gives. How does the world give peace? What?
Medication.
What?
Entertainment.
Oh, entertainment, distraction. Music, movies, sublimation, getaway, escape, run to Florida, run to Michigan, run away, get away, take vacations, find peace. But, you know, I lived in a very peaceful country, Finland. It's a very peaceful country. There's a lot of peace on the outside, but how about on the inside? In the people, there isn't. And they have problems with alcohol and drugs and fear. And they're afraid that people live in fear. Because what is on the outside can produce what the peace that God gives you on the inside. Where the wisdom comes and it's over, it's done. There's no more strife. It's the end. There's peace. Isn't that good?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't matter where you go.
Yes.
you have peace through the doctrine and the counsel of godliness, where the Holy Spirit ministers his mind, and you're satisfied. And you say it's fine. You know, is that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
It is. So then verse 3. If any man teach otherwise in counsel, consent not to wholesome words, healthy words, words of life, words from the Bible, words of edification, words of grace. That's why the church must be established on the finished work, because there's nothing more to add. We are just receiving what it is that God has done. It's finished, and we are just simply comforted with the peace that comes from God, because it's over and it's done, you know? It's amazing. But in the church, there are people that stir up. They stir up. Look at verse 4. He is proud, knows nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy and strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Well, that's quite a list. Anybody know what those words mean? What comes? Envy. Is there any end? No. Strife. No. Us and them. Railings. Evil suspicions. Evil surmisings. When you project upon other people your own envy. You know, there's somebody in the church has a brand new car. Brand new, beautiful car. Man, awesome. And I project on their evil suspicions and strifes and the stirring up, and this happens in a church, then it's like it could be no end, you know. It just goes on and on in the heart of the wicked, or the heart of the person. Yeah. So, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. It's prosperity doctrine. That money is really godliness. But no, you withdraw yourself from that idea. You know, there are a lot of beautiful people that are amazing believers, but they are very poor. But they're great believers. They have no gain. They have poverty, but they're very godly and precious people. And they have peace. You know, isn't that the basis of the wisdom that's from above? Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment. It's over. There's peace here. That's it. I've met so many believers in different places in the world where there's contentment. They just are contented. They have the message. They have the ministry. They have peace in their hearts. It's like there's no strife. Things are settled. Whose baby is it? Cut the baby in half. It's that woman. That is the real mother. Okay, it's done. Over, done. The woman in adultery, let him that cast the, without sin cast the first stone. Okay, it's done. Finished. It's ended. There's nothing more to say about it. It's finished. Somebody is jealous, go to the cross and find the real answer, and then there is peace. And contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And it's over. It's done. It's great.
Yes.
Verse 8. 7. We brought nothing into the world. The certain we can carry nothing out. We are putting our treasure in heaven. And having food and raiment, that's enough to be contented with. Because in our hearts we have this wisdom and this peace. Then in verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts. What are some of the foolish and hurtful lusts that the rich have? They don't know what to do with their money, maybe. They don't know where to put it. When they put it somewhere, they're afraid of losing it. They want to know how much did they gain, how much did they lose. They're worried about the 5 houses that they're managing, the servants, are they stealing anything? Do they get what they deserve? Well, many questions, but you and I don't have those problems. Hallelujah. We got a sandwich, and we're going to go soul winning. We're at the top of our game. We're very happy and contented. We got a sandwich, and we're going to go knock on doors and share the message without these distractions. It's like done, finished, over. It's awesome. And to be able to lead people to be like us, this is amazing. Verse 10, the love of money is the root of all evil. Do you know how much trouble comes from loving money? Like the sex trade, that's that has to do with money. Politics, many times, has to do with money. My whole life, even a profession, has to do with money. I mean, a doctor that, I know about, he very good in what he did. He gave his whole life, and then his children grew up, and they never saw him. They're gone, they're out of the house. He doesn't even know his children. But it could be my profession, and also the money that can be made there, you know. So I lost what I could have gained with my family, I lost because of the love of something else. All right, so here we have the love of money is the root of all evil. Even religion has to do with the love of money. The love of money, the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you ever seen it, many sorrows. I'm going to finish, but we had a man come to our church in a long time ago. He was with Dr. Stevens for a little while. He got saved. Then he left. And he was like a playboy kind of guy. He was like a guy that had girlfriends and playing around and all of this in a certain level of society. And then I became the pastor in Baltimore, and he came back. And then he came back. Then he really came back. Like he got on fire for God. It was like amazing. And the guy said, I'm here, I'm on fire. I've never found satisfaction except now. In Christ, I'm found satisfaction now. Then he got the news, like this lasted for some months, and then he got the news that he had cancer and that he was gonna die. And when I went to see him before he died, and I was with him, you know, like regularly, but then at the end, you know, he just said, you know, I wasted my life. I wasted my life. I could have followed Christ. He said, I would do anything. I want to follow Christ. I want to live, and I want to follow Christ with all my heart, because I found it. I found Jesus, you know. But now it was like he didn't get the opportunity. He passed. You know, I was thinking, here's a man, you know, he had everything. He had the money, he had the girlfriends, he had many girlfriends, he had entertainment, the Baltimore Ravens, he was involved in a certain level. He was in jet skiing at the Chesapeake, it was the whole thing. Anything the heart would desire, and yet he traded that for a life of faith where there was peace. Life is over, it's done. I love that idea. It's done, there's peace. God is here. And so the fruit of your lips, peace, peace, right? So I saw a man facing the end of his life with this amazing regret. And I was trying to say to him, you know, don't live in regret. And he said, I can't help it. I regret. I had 10 or 15 years. I could have followed Christ with all my heart. And I can't do that now. I mean, I'm doing it now, but my life is ending. So this is verse 10. The love of money is the root of all, which while some, they go after the money, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's just one example. The amount of sorrow that is in this world because people love money. The amount of sorrow that people have because they have money. Now, another thing I've noticed in my travels, people in the third world, they want to come to America. And I say to them, the American dream can be the American nightmare. How do you know? Why go to America? You know, if you were born in Azerbaijan, why not? Maybe God ordained for you to be born in Azerbaijan so you could be light and salt in Azerbaijan or Kenya or Indonesia or Vietnam. Like, why would you go to America? Don't go to America unless God would be doing that. If that's God's will, then that's fine. But why pursue something? You definitely don't do it for the love of money. Because, you know, you can get pierced through with many sorrows. You could lose your children. You could lose your life. You could live for another reason. Why do that? Like, you could live for yourself. And then there will be the churning up, like the dirt from the bottom of the sea. Just dirt churning up over and over again. But seek God. Is that true, Keith? It, huh? This guy is amazing. Yes. We should ordain him right now. Get down here. We're going to lay hands on. Yeah, this guy is awesome. Yeah, really. So, just finishing up. I'm saying, when you have a pastor like you have, and the message is given, and there's like peace falling upon us, the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, walk in it, then we have found a treasure. I will come here. I will come here no matter what happens in my life. I will come here. Meaning, I will sit with in a place where there is a finished work message and wisdom from above. And it's like silencing the voices that trouble me and provoke me to restlessness. I want to sit where the psychic noise is like diminished, you know, and there's the Holy Spirit saying, this is the way, and I am with you, and I am Christ, and I called you to peace and satisfaction. Yeah. There, what are some of the things, what are some things that people wrestle with that they don't have peace about? They wrestle with them. Like a single man might say, I can't find a wife, and that troubles them. A woman might say, I don't have a husband. Somebody lost a lot. I know somebody lost an NBA basketball player. They had a big contract for a number of years. They lost $11 million and they had nothing. And this brother, he was a brother, and he was just beating himself up every day. How stupid was I? How foolish was I? I had $11 million. I lost it all. I lost everything. Now I have to, literally, I have to go to McDonald's. I have to find a job somewhere. And he tried to get back in to play in the NBA, but the door was shut. How are you going to live with that? Put yourself in that. How are you going to live with that? There has to be Jesus putting it to rest. And Jesus speaking to me, and saying, it's over, don't go there, I am with you, I am God, and I will lead you, and I will guide you in peace, because I am the yes. Prince of Peace. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not saying I know. I'm just saying I know them. I know what I'm saying, but do I live like this? I don't know. Like, yes, I do. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I cannot package this and get my... I don't have it. I need God to do this, like Pastor said, right? All right. Well, last one. I love the last ones here. But thou, O man, verse 11, O man of God, flee these things. Stop it. Drop it. Get out of it. Avoid it. Flee these things. Deal with it. You know, you want money, deal with it. You're not married and you want to be, deal with it. You lost a child, unfortunately, I'm sorry to hear. But you also got to deal with it. You got to get the word from God, the peace from God. Flee the craziness and then follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Be sure you go on that narrow way and take hold of this, and it will lead you and guide you through your life. Amen?
Amen.
It will help you, guide you, and you use you not to add confusion to an already confusing situation, but to minister love and life and peace. Okay. Well, amen. Yeah.
You said a lot there, but we're gonna do evangelism, and then if you want to stay, and we'll figure something out for lunch or whatever, and we can have a wrap at that time if we have time. Do you know what those psychic noises are? You heard that? You know what that is? You know? We hear a lot of things. The world pushes a lot of their opinions upon us. The streets talk, so to speak. That's what we used to say when we, you know, walked in the streets. They speak loud. And they use cravings, and they say that you need this. And it's all filtered in lies. And we combat all those noises, all those temptations, all those thought patterns. We combat it with the Word of God.
Yes.
We combat it with wisdom, like we heard today. Wisdom says peace. The world doesn't push that peace. It's not as the world gives peace, I give you. They have their own format and their own agenda to what they think peace is, and it's all wrapped up in a lie of deception. You know? And you know what? We have a sandwich, right? We have Sloppy Joe's sandwich, even, you know?
Well,
we have,
it's a late night snack.
But I mean, you know, we can be content with the things that have been given to us outside of the so-called American dream, where these people's lives are being shattered. You know, they show all the commercials and they show all the girls all dialed up, ready to go out, but they don't show them at the end of the night with the mascara running down their face, you know, in misery and hugging the toilets and whatever else. And, you know, it's amazing, and that's their lifestyle, and it's this athlete that, you know, and were you talking about Allen Iverson? That was another one.
Oh,
he's completely broke, and it's more than 11 million.
Wow.
Okay, no, it was a different...
Multi-millions, yes. Hundreds of millions, wow. And he don't have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, listen to his testimony. It's sad. It's sad. You know, and hopefully he finds Christ in it, you know. Yeah. You know, they wave all these millions in front of these young athletes who are just 20-some years old. and they think they, you know, have everything. And it's so short-lived, temporal, you know. So we're going to go outreach. We're going to go in the back and we'll break it up.